and welcome to Autism Hope Library. I have a very special guest. Dr. Alan Lewis is here today with us, and we're going to be talking about treating autism with integrative medicine and a listening program. Well, welcome, Dr. Lewis. I haven't seen you for quite some time. It's nice to see you again.
Great to see you again. It's been, I think, a little over 10 years, isn't that?
That was one of our very first interviews that we did way back in the day. And so it's so great. If you guys missed that interview, you can find it on our YouTube somewhere down the way. But we visited Dr. Alan Lewis at his clinic, and we've been following you ever since. You're a very busy man. You're hard to get another interview with.
Well, I wish it wasn't so true that there's so many sick people out there, but we have been busy. I thank you for taking the time, though, because, as you know, we're trying to help families help their children, help themselves, you know, and it's a tough road.
It really is.
There's hope, you know.
Well, we're so, like, honored, as I said, to have you again, and you're just a wealth of knowledge. For those that are watching, can you tell them a little bit about your background and your experience and what brought you and kept you in integrative functional medicine?
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, I started in traditional pediatrics, you know, and if I look back on my medical career, I always wanted to be a pediatrician because, you know, I just love kids so much. And then my son was diagnosed with autism at 2. And that really rocked my world, as you can imagine, as it continues to do for many families. We were told there was nothing you could do, and that really wasn't true. Interestingly enough, the day he was diagnosed was the day the National Academy of Sciences came out with their report, Educating Children with Autism, which said do behavioral therapy. And so we did. But we didn't hear about the biomedicine approach, didn't hear about diet, didn't hear about other things. And then thankfully, his mom found out about Defeat Autism Now, and mm-hmm. I went to the first conference and learned a lot. And really understanding that what we were seeing in autism wasn't necessarily set in stone. You know, we were dealing with a child with a biologically impaired brain that really need to be unimpaired. I know those aren't necessary words, but that's the way I think about it. So if we can unimpair that brain, give it knowledge it needs, give it situations it needs, and it can learn. And the diagnosis is really based on the neurodevelopmental delay. So if we can allow the child to learn, then they can catch up development. Mm-hmm. And that's what we saw. I eventually went on to be medical director at the Pfeiffer Treatment Center. So expanding upon some of the things I learned, you know, in Defeat Autism Now, I learned about biochemistry and behavior, and then ultimately went into integrative practice where I've been now for about 10 and a half years. I would say the learning has accelerated since I've gotten into practice here. There's other things we treat. More than 50% of our patients have PANS PANDAS now, and a number of have Lyme, and mold illness is clearly starting to predominate, you know, as all comorbid or also disease-causing processes in what we're treating. What's kept me in integrative medicine is many of these families have come to us for help, haven't received it in other situations, and we do actually see kids get better, which is the whole reason I went into medicine, to tell you the truth, is this to help families, to help kids get better. It's a continuous learning process. And I would say that's when you kindly said, I'm busy trying to learn. That's really the big thing.
Well, we're grateful that you continue to learn, because without doctors like you, our kids wouldn't be doing better and wouldn't be feeling better and wouldn't be getting better, as you said. So we're very grateful for that. I know that in your practice, you have found, you know, common threads with underlying diseases. You know, when you're looking at the diagnoses of autism and PANS and PANDAS and tick-borne illnesses like Lyme disease, we're hearing so much more about, and mold illnesses. You know, can you talk about those common threads that you're finding?
Yeah, I would say that it's very interesting how we're seeing so much of things we even talked about in autism 20 years ago. You know, we talk about toxicity, stress, and inflammation. And it was pretty clear. I know that some of the published studies go back to 2006 when there was evidence of inflammation in the brain of children with autism. So we're like, let's focus on, you know, inflammation and what triggers it. Well, that stress, toxicity in many senses, you know, we've heard about heavy metals, but there's pesticides, there's imbalances in chemistry, inability to detox toxin in the case of a mold illness. In the case of Pans Pandas, we have an autoimmune inflammatory response that's just taking over the brain. So it's a vicious cycle of those three that really beget more inflammation and lead to the, you know, the illness. It's not just the brain, though. As we know, it's other things that are affected as well. Bowel, thyroid function, you know, immune function especially. So it's the fact that we have these three stressors that are starting to affect all elements of the body that really are a problem.
Well, and I know today we're also talking specifically about the listening program and how it fits in the care of your complex, you know, patients. So many of our kiddos are very complex. Can you share how you first became interested in the listening program and how you view it as a useful tool in your practice?
Well, you know, it was thankful for that you really introduced me to Alex Doman, you know, through the Autism Hope Alliance board. And when Alex and I first spoke, we were talking about it, and I was like, well, this sounds like a very good modality. You know, as here we have a chance to use music, which most people enjoy, to actually help with development, you know, and it became so much more, I would say. I was thinking, okay, maybe this is something that we would use in the autism patients, definitely. We had great response, but then we were able to expand it to the other patients, the patients with PANS, the patients with Lyme. And it gave me, you know, I had to say, okay, well, now why is it working in these other illnesses? And part of the answer goes back to that idea of stress and inflammation and toxicity. Sound can be toxic, you know, thoughts can be toxic, stress is toxic, you know. So in many ways, we're seeing the listening program helping de-stress the body in many ways. So I think that we really haven't tapped all of its potential at this point. But I was just amazed at what we had seen. I was told to prepare some examples of what we've seen, you know, so and I imagine we'll get to that. And it's pretty profound.
Yeah, I know that we've been using the listening program for well over a decade with my son, and he requests it. He loves it. He knows when his body is in a, you know, fight or flight kind of mode and will literally tell us, you know, he wants to listen to his music, which then is even expanded to the sound health where he'll pick the albums on the sound health version that isn't quote unquote therapeutic, but therapeutic in the sense that it's a non-toxic noise and it's something very, you know, relaxing for him. So.
Wait, when you have a child that says, I want this, you know, now, in the case of a screen, that's screen dependency, right?
Yeah.
Which is good. But in the case of, you know, when you have, you know, the listening program, I want my headphones or I want my music. Or I had a kid that, you know, cried until they rented the HBOT the next time, you know, wow. Or kids that even asked for methyl B12 shots. You know, it's like, okay, I want a shot. Well, it better be doing something, which it is, because mm-hmm. they know. And that's one of the cool things. It's rare that we have difficulty once people get adjusted to the TLP of, you know, being able to, you know, have them do it because they're going to want to do it. You know, and you take 2 days a week break, that sometimes can be a tough time because they really want it.
Yeah, we do sound health during our 2 days a week.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So for those that are listening, sound health is where it's just beautiful classical music. It's not quote unquote therapeutic in the sense of the TLP, the listening program. But so you do 5 days on, 2 days off. But it's he requests it. And so our days are Monday through Friday, but Saturday and Sundays are off and Saturdays and Sundays are relaxed. And it's really awesome to see him, you know, go on the iPod and like pick the sound health that he likes, because we had it put on there as well. And so it's nice to see him be excited on different albums, and he knows certain, like he'll say, oh, I want this color, and yet I'll look at the color and it will be a calming one or it'll be an inspirational one. And it's fascinating to me, even individuals with limited language really can express their wants and desires when it comes to music. So it's something that obviously is near and dear to my heart. So it's exciting to see doctors like yourself get so excited as well. Now, can you share some thoughts about stress and how it interferes with our ability to heal? Because honestly, so many of our kids are in fight and flight.
Well, I'd say so many of us are in fight or flight.
Yeah.
Parents and kids and friends. That's part of it. You know, stress has many negative effects on the body. You know, it causes inflammation. So we know how bad that is. That inflammation then can go on to negative effects, not only in brain, but bowel function, immune health, adrenal health. So our energy, thyroid health, also for our energy. And so when we have this ongoing stress, we can actually get ourselves into this self-sustained pro-inflammatory cycle. And we need to break it. And we can break it certain ways. You can break it with good sleep, good nutrition, exercise, mindfulness, meditation, listening to good music. Those are all things that are helpful. But TLP gets in there and, you know, for 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, you can have a profound effect. So that's really where TLP I've seen have a big impact. You know, I just recently did a conference that talked about all the illnesses we mentioned, but at a very, you know, at the sickest of sick level for patients. And they talked about two concepts, the activated autonomic nervous system. So that part of our system that we think of as unconscious, and how we respond to stress is partly related to how our autonomic nervous system is set. And so for in fight or flight, we're going to have worse response to stress than if we were relaxed, similar to where a brain, you know, with a concussion, if they get a concussion too soon after the first, the second concussion will be worse. And then the other thing they talked about was something called the cell danger response. And I'm going to be writing a blog on that, but it's very interesting that if we think all the way down to the cellular level, the cell can respond from stress and put itself into a self-protected mode and not want to get out of it until it gets a safe signal. And one of the things I think at least the listening program does, because you have the bone conductor, you know, on the head, you're getting vibratory sense too. And vibration or bone conduction is the first hearing we have in utero. So when I think about what's going on, you know, with the Waves headset and with this engineered music and the bone conduction, is the body is getting a safe signal, which is trying to help the cell get out of, you know, that hunkered down, non-responsive mode. And vibration on the skull is going to go all the way down to your toe because your skeletal frame goes all the way down there. So you're not just giving it to the brain. You're probably giving it to a lot of the body. And so, you know, that stress response is something that I'm really starting to understand is something we have to focus on primarily in our patients, not thinking about, you know, do they have mold illness or do they have Lyme, as the primary is the stress and all these things that have gone on to their protective mode that we need to help them with. So
I think that's it's so fascinating listening about, you know, just things that we can do to help our bodies heal, and music being really such a simple thing and yet so overlooked. So I'm so happy we're talking about this. And we talked a little bit, or you mentioned it, I should say, we had asked you to, you know, think of some, you know, great success stories. Have you seen significant responses with the listening program? And can you share a few of those success stories?
Well, tongue in cheek, you know, there's a integrative physician of undisclosed age who finds that, you know, the listening program is very helpful for mood and stress reduction, good sleep, and it actually helps me, you know, with my seasonal affective disorder. So I do achieve, you know, at this point, I haven't gone on to level one or the other things, but it's very powerful for me. And it's also helped my wife. I have two patients that really have done well. I've had multiple patients that have done well, but two that I really wanted to highlight. So I know I'm not supposed to read, but I just don't want to forget, you know, how good these two were. So one, I remember he's now 26, but when we first saw him, he was about 22, and we dealt with the traditional things we did for kids with autism. But he was aggressive, he was not potty trained. He was very sound sensitive. The family was stuck at home. Dad was just amazing. He needed to be his therapist so that when the patient became irritated, Dad would sing and help calm him back down. So Dad spent hours a day singing. That improved, but when we added the listening program, things just took off. So he actually potty trained at 24 within 6 months of starting TLP. Yeah, you know that as a mom, right?
Yeah, that's huge.
Really awesome. His sound sensitivity improved dramatically to the point that Dad didn't have to sing all the time and they could go out. You know, and now he's even to the point that he's more creative, playing more. He understands jokes and he's even kind of putting words and melodies together and, you know, in his own way, you know, humming to some degree like his dad. So, you know, many people think that, you know, that, you know, there's no healing after a certain age. That's not true, you know, and especially in his case. And I don't think, now that he's 26, so he's 2 years after, you know, some of those big, big gains, he continues to make gains. So we just don't know where he's going to stop. So that's awesome. The other one is a kid with autism too, but he also had pretty significant PANS, Lyme, and mold problems, and had pretty persistent PANS flares for 5 years. We saw him try to do some of the things that we usually do and had some success, but he still was flaring. Within about 6 months of TLP, he stopped flares. So that was the first time he completely remitted his flares.
Wow.
You know, within 5 years. And since that reset, so, you know, what really happened is, you know, his brain started to heal. The rest of his system started to heal. You know, he had tracking breakthroughs. He had been stuck in visual developmental optometry for 2 years. He was starting to make gains academically, you know, with reading and math facts, those kind of things. He became calmer. So his temperament improved. He was actually able to engage more. How much of that was his inability to trust his own ability to respond? I don't know. But, you know, kids want to do well.
Mm-hmm.
And now he had the skills to do so. So we're seeing social improvements, independence with his ADLs. One of the things that I thought was really interesting, he came from a running family, so all the families were runners, and they noticed as he started to really respond to TLP that he started to change his gait.
Oh, wow.
So he went from a rigid, non-flowing gait, something that a runner would recognize, right, to one that was the more normal runner's advanced flowing gait.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, again, as I've said, I just don't know where, you know, things are going to stop. I don't want them to stop, of course, but it's been just really something for a small investment. We've seen great response.
Well, you know, and I know you know this about me, but it's also true with the Autism Hope Alliance. We believe that children of any age are capable of limitless growth, and we see it over and over and over again. And I hear the stories like this, and, you know, if you're a family out there watching and you think, oh, I keep hearing there's this window. I don't know what window and what house this is being built in, but I don't think there's any window that closes. I think that our kids are going to constantly, you know, climb a ladder and just keep shooting for the stars. And so it's something that to me makes no sense when you hear, quote unquote, the experts say, oh, if they don't do well by age 5 or age 8 or by age 12, and I constantly hear all these different numbers, you know, then that's probably where they're going to, that's where their cap is. Like, they're not going to get, you know.
We don't want to, you know, speak a self-fulfilling prophecy over them.
No.
The limit there. I mean, we've seen healing at all ages. Even when I was at Pfeiffer, we had guys, and I think a patient 35 gained 5 words, and, you know, a patient that was 50, you know, added 2 or something like that. And it doesn't seem like much, but their care became so much better, and just the idea of frustrated communication became that much less.
Well, and I think, like you said earlier, you know, you're still learning, you're constantly learning, you're not giving up. Well, we can't sit there and say we know everything when the doctors who are helping us are still learning. So how can we say, we can't predict the future, but we can predict we're never going to give up. And I think that's really where the key message is. How do families find you? What website can they find you on?
They can go to SanctaFamiliaCenter.com. So it's SanctaFamiliaCenter.com. And our phone number is 614-259-3760.
And, you know, for those families out there watching, Dr. Lewis, that, you know, are just thinking, gosh, well, first, I'm sure they're listening going, I'm so glad that he said kids of all ages, because that's right there. I don't care where your kid's at. You love hearing that. But sometimes you still feel like lost. You don't really know where to go. You know, there are days that are really harder than other days. What message can you leave with them?
Well, I mean, there's always hope, you know, really. It's trying to find folks that are actually going to also lift you up. That's where it's very important to have what you're doing, you know, the Autism Hope Alliance Library, connections in other ways, connections with other parents, you know, those are all useful things. I just never give up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I think that's the best message we can always say and always remember, is to never give up. And we're just grateful for doctors like you, Dr. Lewis, and thank you for not giving up, and thank you for continuing to be a student and continuing to learn, and just, you know that our kids are in there and they're just going to keep surprising us and keep showing us and keep teaching us. So thank you, Dr. Lewis, for being here today and all that you do. And thank you that are all that are watching. Remember what Dr. Lewis said, just don't give up. You know, we're all in this together, and Dr. Lewis and many doctors like him are not giving up on your kiddos. So you don't give up either. All right. Until next time. Bye, guys.